Chapter 4, The Life Cycle.
In some ways, mankind was incredibly diverse. We like to say that each person was like a snowflake, unique, precious, and sooner or later covered in exhaust and dog urine. Yet, all of our lives traced roughly the same arc from beginning to end and passed through roughly the same milestones. It was a process we called the life cycle because it reminded us of a popular stationary exercise bike that was exhilarating but grueling and wound up leaving you off exactly where you started. What was this life cycle? Well, perhaps we can answer that question with another one. What has 4 legs in the morning, 2 legs in the afternoon, and 3 in the evening? At first blush, the answer to that ancient riddle of the Sphinx would seem obvious. A 4-legged animal that had 2 legs amputated following a terrible lunchtime accident, then had one of them reattached just before dinner. But there's also a more figurative answer to the mystery. Man. For in the morning of our lives, we crawled on all 4s, young, small, and vulnerable. In the prime of the afternoon, we walked erect, adult, robust, and independent. And by the evening, we walked with a cane, old, small, vulnerable once more. And then, of course, at night, we died. No legs. That part was too depressing, even for the Sphinx. The chronology and physical stages of the life cycle took place in the sequence that they're presented in this chapter. We did not have the option of starting life as an adolescent or jumping from middle age back to infancy to grab a quick nap or aging backwards, which is the premise of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, a film that we urge you to avoid, lest it steal 3 precious Earth hours from you. But we did have some flexibility in the order with which certain personal and societal milestones could occur. For instance, we could give birth before marriage, or be circumcised after middle age, turns of events which were respectively common and really super not at all common, like ever, never. It was these milestones, shared and celebrated with loved ones and friends, that helped form the chapter breaks in the stories of our lives, lending our time on Earth much of its dignity and poignancy, and all of its redeemable gift certificates, the exception being funerals. Hey, sorry about your dad. Please enjoy this $50 iTunes card was considered a funeral don't. Which once again brings us to death. In truth, pretty much everything brought us to death. The famed philosopher Jim Morrison once observed, "No one here gets out alive." And that was certainly true. Well, though not everybody ended up alone and bloated after ODing in a bathtub either. But dying wouldn't have been that sad or frightening if only we didn't know it was going to happen. But alas, we were, as far as we could tell, the only creatures who were aware of their own mortality. I mean, most animals you could kill right in front of their friends and they would just keep on chewing their cud, at most idly wondering a few days later where Frank was. But humans, we knew the horrible truth. That was the price we paid for consciousness, and many would argue we got ripped off. So how did we react to this terrible knowledge? Some of us with paralyzing fear. Others chose to use this life to feverishly prepare for the afterlife they hoped would follow. And a few of us reacted by adhering to the phrase carpe diem, seizing each and every diem with as much urgency and spirit as we could muster, because paradoxically, it was only by accepting the fleeting nature of our existence that we could fully appreciate how much every moment, just like every person and every snowflake, was unique and precious. Having said that, if you're immortal, go fuck yourself.